104EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The first parent of a school shooter to face charges, Jennifer Crumley, testified in her own defense in a Pontiac, Michigan courtroom today. Their son killed four students in 2021. This was the last question from her defense lawyer.
If you could change what happened, would you?
Oh, absolutely. I wish he would have killed us instead.
Crumley and her husband are facing involuntary manslaughter charges. The prosecution cross-examines her tomorrow morning. The long-awaited text of a national security bill with immigration reform, border security action, and military aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is due out in the next days, with the Senate considering the bill Monday. It's time to further disable Iran-backed militias that have struck at U.S. forces and ships in the Middle East, says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Big storms with heavy rain flooded California roadways today and dropped snow in the mountains, much needed for water runoff. This is ABC News. A day after Walmart announced the opening of 150 new stores in the next 5 years, the company's chief told ABC News there will also be a boost in pay for workers.
Walmart also making a big investment in its workforce, awarding store managers higher pay and stock grants that could bring their salaries to $400,000 a year. Walmart U.S. CEO John Furner telling GMA,
they're managing supercenters like I did 25 years ago, and they're managing an e-commerce business.
The retailer says artificial intelligence is already shaping its day-to-day operations, like by keeping track of how much inventory is left and where it is in the store.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. An asteroid that's between 690 feet and 1,500 feet across will pass within 1.7 million miles from Earth tomorrow. That's about the size of New York's Empire State Building. But NASA says that distance is about seven times the amount of Earth to the moon. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure that you'll get your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
And Jackson Hewitt also guarantees the accuracy of your return for life.
Hewitt, yeah!
So don't just sit there. For your biggest refund guaranteed, walk into a Jackson Hewitt today and dance out Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Crunch the numbers. Wisconsin's state retirement system is financing polluters and helping create climate chaos, which is not good for our water, our air, or our planet. It's time to insist on common sense investments, not bankrolling yesterday's fossil fuels. Be the change. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org and sign the petition. Our investments should be protected, and it should serve to protect. Future generations will thank you.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers says hospital and clinic layoffs in western Wisconsin didn't have to be as sweeping as they are. He blames former Governor Scott Walker and the legislature for turning down more than $2 billion in Medicaid money under the Affordable Care Act.
Simple as that. If Medicaid expansion was in place, some of those folks would have gotten more money through Medicare and maybe have saved their jobs.
Evers at a WisPolitics luncheon this week. Museums in Wisconsin are scrambling to comply with a new federal rule that makes them get permission from tribal nations before displaying certain Native American artifacts. The new rule means significant changes for museums in other parts of the country, but less so in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Packers hire a new defensive coordinator. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Matt LaFleur putting out a statement. He has hired Jeff Hafley, age 44, head coach of the Boston College Eagles, to be the new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Hafley's originally from New Jersey, played wide receiver in high school and at a small college, had secondary coaching stints at Rutgers and Pitt, then got into the NFL, where he's a secondary coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, and the San Francisco 49ers. After that, 2 years as a co-defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes, then in December of 2019, hired as the new coach in Boston. Matt LaFleur says, "We are excited to welcome Jeff and his family to the Packers and the Green Bay community. He's had success at every stop of his coaching career and an impressive track record of developing players at every level. We look forward to Jeff leading our defense." NBA, Bucks in Portland against the Trailblazers tonight. Again, Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator for the Packers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, patchy fog, and a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, mainly sunny, highs in the low 40s. And more sunshine this weekend, highs upper 40s. Little change into next week, temperatures stay well above average into the 40s as dry conditions continue. Currently, it's 37.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Welcome Monday edition, Johnny Lupinacci, producer Anya, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. I know Friday was the big announcement, but Johnny and I were thinking about this going, you know what though, make it again tonight. Why Monday? Why Busted Pencils? Well, how about Tuesday? How about Wednesday? How about Thursday? And how about Friday, Johnny Lupinacci? What do you think, man? I mean, 5 nights a week, Busted Pencils, my friend.
Exactly. I mean, I love it. I love it for our listeners. I love it for our callers and for me and you to get to chop it up daily with Anya and sometimes Nate Dogg. But, you know, being able to be with the Civic Media crew is just, it's an awesome way to spend the week. So
it is. And we look forward to it. Hey, you know what, too? Always 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Always callers, no matter what we're talking about. If you've got something, give us a call, jump in. We will stop the show, you know, well, to a point. We'll let you get on there and we'll let you chop it up with us. We got so much planned. Johnny and I keep sitting there thinking, how about this? How about that? Johnny, what do you think about this? Producer Anya and I are on today talking about, she's like, how about this? How about that? I'm like, oh my goodness. Maybe we'll get to all of this in the first 2 to 3 years. I mean, you guys are just throwing so many different things out there. I don't know where would we start. I mean, there's education news. There's Matt Damon's mom. There's astrophysicist Ethan. What else could there possibly be? We've got LA Tom. We know he'll be giving us a call. Everything you want is there. Dr. Diane Ravage, the Network for Public Education. Oh, every Wednesday too. Check it out. Educators Amplified. Our friends from Milwaukee, Joanna and Hallie, every Wednesday night, Educators Amplified, coming to you from Milwaukee. Bringing it, you know, what's happening out there. Talking about regulations, keeping that nervous system the way it's supposed to be. But Johnny, you know what? Before we get into the education news, though, the news, and Anya and Johnny both, no Packers. And Johnny, sadly, Lions. Lions.
I mean, it's been a rough couple of Mondays the last few weeks. It's like one team after another. You know, Tim, you're a Steelers guy. Anya's a Packer backer. I can't hate on the Packers. I mean, I grew up loving the Green Bay Packers. And so, but always a Lions fan. And, you know, we had a little run going and oof, we won't even mention, but third quarter got us and we're out. So we're all in that sad Monday where is there really still football? I mean, I guess, but
yeah, like I mean, said,
let's just get a good season going and start looking forward to next year. And
well, You know what? In fact, throw it out there right now. I'm looking forward to next year football season because we said one of the things we always talk about on Busted Pencils, Friday night football, your favorite high school as well. Hey, check it out. In fact, right now, start letting us know. We want to come to a Friday night football next fall somewhere, Madison, Milwaukee, somewhere in Wisconsin. Who has the best Friday night football in the fall in Wisconsin? Busted Pencils live from Friday night football. Johnny, what do you think, man?
Well, you know, Tim, we talk about all things education here on Busted Pencils, and you cannot separate the kind of community building, especially in the Midwest, that is organized not only around, you know, students also having a well-rounded education that includes athletics, but clubs and extracurriculars. And there is nothing maybe more signifying and community unifying than Friday night football, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're excited to connect those dots in conversation, but also in community action. And you know, there is a long-standing relationship between you know, our athletic programs and really it writ large extracurricular activities that are a huge part of young people and their education and our education system. I mean, I learned so much, not only as a coach and a teacher, but so much too in the last few years from young people who have introduced me to esports and to all the different things that are happening in our schools that are in every way part of an education.
Can you get in shape playing esports though? I'm confused by that.
Yeah, man. I've been schooled in the and it is just phenomenal. And of course, you know, as a teacher, there is nothing better than learning things about things that kids are organizing and invested in. And this is definitely one, right? There's practices and there's schedules and there's all kinds of training and all kinds of work. It's different work, right, than the two-a-days, Tim, you and I are used to as football guys. But, you know, it's training, and it's in every way an organized, you know, program for it's still I'm still confused in a lot of places. It's falling under athletics, and so it's been pretty cool to learn about.
Wow. I tell you what, well, I think about that. Yeah. Esports. And I just had to make fun because, like, esports in my day was, you know, playing Atari. You know, and you know, the only thing that got to work out there was my thumb, you know, kind of that joystick hand. And so now that we're moving, but I know in my college too, there are lots and lots and lots of esports. Hey, the other thing, though, too, you know, we'll get to the news this week, though, just, you know, tomorrow night, Allen Collins, student loan justice. We're going to be talking, you know, and Allen, you know, it's already out there, but he's going to be making a major announcement tomorrow night, you know, making an announcement talking about democracy. Allen might be playing his part in democracy. Wednesday, we said Educators Amplified, Joanna and Rosado. Thursday, just booked special guest Kimber Wilkinson, professor, UW-Madison Special Education, coming on to talk about the national teacher shortage, not just writ large, but special education in particular. There is a everybody knows who listens to Busted Pencils. There's a massive teacher shortage in different areas. But Kimber, who's an expert in special education, UW-Madison, you know, University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, she's coming on, though, to talk very specifically about the shortage of special education teachers. Johnny, think about, you know, a shortage of teachers. Let that land for people going like, okay, so you show up one day, your teacher's not there. That's hard enough. You show up one day, you're a student, you're a family, you're a child with special needs. You have, you know, a program in place that's supposed to be there to support your individual needs. And there's not a special education teacher there for you. I don't know if people recognize. We say, well, there's a teacher shortage, there's a teacher shortage. Imagine what that means. Your child, second grade, has, you know, some cognitive requirements, some special education applications. No teacher there to help that. That's what's happening all over the country. Teacher shortage. That's just a hint. And then Friday, Johnny, I think what we said, you know, we're going to plan on doing the kind of wrapping up the week, you know, putting it in, talking about it, mashing it up. And again, always taking your calls. In fact, though, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. 7889 is the call if you want to jump on. Johnny, what's, you know, biggest news thing I'm looking at today? I hate to say this, but, you know, we're going to go back. The attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion. I just now see Florida and Utah has just put forward a statewide ban on diversity, equity, and inclusion. How did we get here, Johnny? How can you ban? Think about the word diversity. Just go, you know, go to your Webster's dictionary, define it. That is now banned.
Yeah, it's really tricky, Tim, because, you know, we want, I'll always take the stance of, you know, banning anything in particular is a huge problem in a democracy, because it's saying, hey, we can't even get together and talk about this. We can't learn together about how to take on complex issues. For folks listening and things, we've done this before, but I like to just provide kind of a street level definition of diversity, because it is such a heated political topic. You know, if we just break it down, diversity is a condition of difference on which everything exists, right? We're talking mm-hmm. about the very fundamental baseline of all existence. Like, we're thinking about, you know, linguistic diversity, cultural diversity, biodiversity. These are important mainstays of life. And if we think about democracy, so now we jump to a way of organizing how we make decisions together in a community. Democracy is a way of organizing that honors diversity. Mm. It builds in that there are different ways of experiencing and understanding the world, and that we organize together around how to make decisions in support of and considering diversity. So, you know, if we're thinking about this as a fundamental
condition of
life, of right. being, like, nothing comes into its existence outside of its relationship to other things. That means there are all kinds of different things. This is, in essence, what the term diversity points towards. All the different ways we may understand and experience the world. And if we're preparing young people, especially, for complex decision-making in their communities, diversity education is paramount. It is absolutely necessary. Now, that said, it's become, you know, this sort of hot political topic based on the ignoring that definition of diversity, right? Mm-hmm. It's falling under a particular, it's being pointed to as a particular way or set of things that are being imposed. And that's absolutely not true. And right. so we're here to kind of chop it up in terms of let's turn the light on or put under the microscope the concept of diversity, because really at its essence, when you attack anything like diversity, you're essentially attacking democracy, you know? You can't do one without the other. And so
you got to hold on to that. Attacking diversity is the same as attacking democracy.
Yeah. It's the essence of anti-patriotic.
Well, think about that. You know, 1 minute we're coming up. Caller Jack, we see you there. We're going to get to you when we come back from the break. Diversity, attacking diversity, taking apart democracy. We haven't even gotten to equity and then inclusion. But the idea, Johnny, what we said, you know, first thing in the news, right in, I went through three different national education news publications, the banning of diversity headlines in every outlet out there. Want to talk more about it when we get back. We got Jack on the line from Merrimack. Jack, we're going to get to you when we get back. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. We are educated educators talking education, and we will be right back after the break.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts. So we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass gifts and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join Matt Nair on Air, 11 to noon.
On Mad Radio, 92.7 WMDX, 1580 AM.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tim and Johnny, two woke warriors, teaching and learning in a post-pandemic world. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
Man. It is Busted Pencils. It's what we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It is Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded every day of the week now. Civic Media, thank you for bringing that. Caller Jack from Merrimack. We were debating. We're not sure Jack has ever called Busted Pencils. Jack, how are you, my friend?
Well, it's probably been a couple of years since I called because there was a gig I had every Tuesday night for several years. So the bottom line is a little reminder, I have over 40 years, I've retired now from teaching, but I have over 40 years in education. And I taught at every level from the sixth grade up to about sophomore year college and in public, private, and parochial schools. So I have a little perspective on a lot of these topics, to say the least. Awesome. One reason why I retired was when Act 10 came in and I discovered that the basically, as a teacher, you had no way of determining what the conditions would be in your classroom. I was getting old at the time anyway, but I just didn't have enough energy to both teach properly and fight that battle as well. My son recently, now a few years ago, graduated from UW System School, and he has a degree in education in the state of Wisconsin. He found out through me that the St. Paul School District was offering a $10,000 signing bonus for new teachers, and he is now living in Minneapolis.
You're celebrating him for making that decision, I think, right, Jack?
Oh, I would say so, yes.
Okay.
He's got a good perspective, I think, on what he's doing right now. But in any case, here's my opinion for what this is worth. Back in the 1970s, to give you a little background, and I cannot give you an exact reference because it was a long time ago and I haven't been able to find it on the internet, but a group of extreme so-called conservatives decided that they were going to attack public education in America. And this has just simply gotten worse and worse and worse with the conservative and ever more extremist administrations that we've had over the years. I don't think the DEI truly is the issue. The issue is, how can we get rid of public education as much as possible or make it so bloody expensive that you can't really afford to send a kid to college? In a UW school for 5 years, it probably cost my son, just for the tuition, approximately $50,000. Now, he had two parents, both of whom had the ability to support him going through school. So he emerged debt-free. But the first thing I'm going to say is, it's not very difficult to see how somebody in 5 years at a public university could leave with $50,000 in debt. That's not a surprise at all. But the DEI, that's just an excuse. And it's a great excuse for the extremists to fire up their base and say, oh, yeah, this is where the poor white people, we're getting we're getting the short end of the stick. They're going to replace us. Does that sound familiar? Anybody ever hear of replacement theory? Yeah. That's what I think this is about, as well as doing everything possible to cut back the funding on public education.
Jack, thank you so much for the call. We hope you're going to call regularly now that we are on every day of the week. And if you still have that Tuesday gig, we'll let you off on Tuesdays. You can have a day off on Tuesdays. Johnny, I think what Jack is saying, though, right there, you know, back to the 70s, the attack on public education, diversity, equity, and inclusion, the banning of. So Jack is like, look, let's be real. This is just the continued attack on public education writ large. Now it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And this just fires up the base, but that the real, you know, target here is, you know, or are our public schools.
And yeah, and awesome too, Jack, thanks for calling. Also, thank you, Jack, for all your years of service as an educator, you know, and at all the levels that you taught. You know, we just got to throw props out to teachers everywhere. And Jack, thanks for sharing that. Because, you know, if we're to just do like a cursory history of things, right, this, our public school systems, you know, really took up an effort, especially post the, you know, the first big wave of civil rights movement in this country, took up effort to be the great equalizer, to play a role. And that'll bring in that equity piece. You know, we gave a definition of diversity, you know, condition of difference on which everything exists. And then we talk about equity and inclusion. But, you know, public schools took up an effort to be an equalizer. This idea that every child in this country, regardless of what economic background you came from, regardless of, you know, your ethnicity, your race, was not only deserving, but was ideally given access to a quality education. This is something that, you know, Jack mentioned, you know, is not a new problem in our public school system. Is, hey, we set that goal. We started to really make efforts towards that. However, you know, there were concerted efforts to undermine that over the past, you know, 30, 40 years that have been fairly successful. And oftentimes a distraction is, you know, labeling and banning things. And this is, I think Jack hit the nail on the head, you know, DEI isn't the problem. It isn't the debate. It ought to be the baseline, recognizing and valuing diversity, having a goal of equitable education for all, and inclusion, including every child, every member of our community in that process.
I mean, the way you just did that, though, it's like, I don't see how anybody could come back at you and go, yeah, but, because you just laid that out to the point of saying it's common knowledge. It's diversity, because the commitment to the differences that make us who we are, equity, because that's what we're striving for every day. And then inclusion, to know that in our public sphere, our public education system, you all are included. To attack that, what Jack is saying is a direct attack on public schools.
Well, and let's get into it, because Jack brought this up too, and it's impossible to separate. And it's important that he brought it up, and I'm really thankful for that, because he's an experienced educator, and he knows that an equitable quality education that includes all members of our community, especially children in that community, is not inexpensive. It costs something. Now, it costs less than incarcerating young people. It costs less than, you know, long-term health care from a lack of education. It is less expensive in the long run. It's important, but it does cost money. And so who does that cost fall on when we get back?
When we get back, Busted Pencils.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The first parent of a school shooter to face charges, Jennifer Crumbly, testified in her own defense in a Pontiac, Michigan courtroom today. Their son killed four students in 2021. This was the last question from her defense lawyer.
If you could change what happened, would you?
Oh, absolutely. I wish he would have killed us instead.
Crumbly and her husband are facing involuntary manslaughter charges. The prosecution cross-examines her tomorrow morning. The long-awaited text of a national security bill with immigration reform, border security action, and military aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is due out in the next days, with the Senate considering the bill Monday. It's time to further disable Iran-backed militias that have struck at U.S. forces and ships in the Middle East, says Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Big storms with heavy rain flooded California roadways today and dropped snow in the mountains, much needed for water runoff. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers want to offer some relief to communities where the universities of Wisconsin are closing two-year branch campuses. A bill in the legislature would give $2 million to county governments for repurposing empty academic buildings. The grants would be administered by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Small-town Wisconsin has it especially bad as the state scrambles to fill a shortage of health care workers. John Ike leads the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. He says fewer rural providers means patients don't get quality care.
Maybe the staffing ratios are worse for patients. I mean, I think there's a lot of ways that patients are not served as well.
Governor Evers has formed a task force which will try to find solutions in time for work on the next two-year state budget. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, patchy fog, and a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, mainly sunny, highs in the low 40s. And more sunshine this weekend, highs upper 40s. Little change into next week, temperatures stay well above average into the 40s as dry conditions continue. It's 34 right now.
For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024 continues, thanks to our fine sponsor, Chance Design Build. Trudy lands in Las Vegas for the Nevada presidential primary, a competing GOP caucus, and all the build-up to Super Bowl 58. Tune in for special events broadcast live from the Vegas Strip. From the Nevada primary Tuesday, February 6th through Super Bowl Friday, Trudy brings you on-the-ground coverage from a swing state that helped Joe Biden win the presidency.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. I never did anything without a compass. Eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tim and Johnny, two woke warriors, teaching and learning in a post-pandemic world. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
And we are back, Busted Pencils, educated educators talking education, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci, we are here Monday. It is Busted Pencils Monday. It is Busted Pencils Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Yes, if you're just hearing it for the first time, it is Busted Pencils all week long. From now on, Civic Media bringing you the education talk show, the education media empire that is beginning right here in, you know, Wisconsin with Civic Media. All throughout, as we talked to L.A. Tom last Friday, L.A. Tom was like, let's move this all the way to Japan, the education media revolution. We're going to do that. Johnny, we were talking to Jack in Merrimack, and, you know, the diversity, equity, and inclusion said, you know, talking about the news, the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion continues. Jack says, wait a minute, you really want to understand this. You got to go back and understand that in the 70s, the attack on public education, and that here we are in 2023, diversity, equity, inclusion attacks, still the same attack on public education. Johnny Lupinacci, we need to get, though, you've defined diversity for us. You defined equity, inclusion, you got to it. Inclusion, what do you have to say about inclusion?
I mean, it goes hand in hand with diversity and equity. That's kind of why the three have been, you know, connected. And it's important because we left off before the break with talking about if we do value difference, we recognize and value it, and we organize in response to that condition, that important aspect of what constitutes a democracy. And then we also add in it with the goal of things being equitable, especially education. Like, we really want every child and every family in the community, even if there aren't per se children in that family household, to be participating in the benefits of a quality education system. So it's education for who? It ought to be education for everyone. And that's where the inclusion piece comes in, regardless of what sort of socioeconomic status, so what income status you're born into or comes from your neighborhood or your community, that a quality education, one that is equitable, one that is, you know, in service of the empowerment of diverse people, right, to participate in a democracy, not in anything goes, but to participate in democracy and the common decision-making towards what's good in our communities. That's something that's not static, right? It's dynamic. It's something that we learn to grapple with the complexities of and make decisions. It's not authoritarian in terms of it's not here's the predetermined outcome. It's something that we deliberate on together. And that quality education for everybody to be included in is something that, you know, has to be funded. And so we got into, you know, Jack from Merrimack brought it up. Our guest tomorrow is going to really dive into, you know, student loan and the cost of higher education. But that goes all the way down to the cost of childcare,
right?
All the way to our earliest learners. And this is something that, whether it's as a nation or as a state or as a county, right, we have to make decisions around what we support. And, you know, and Jack brought that up, that there has been a systematic erosion of how we fund and support public education. And to me, I don't want to say it's all about money, but following the money has been telling over the last, you know, 30, 40 years, following how we've worked to defund education and public education in particular.
I just, Johnny, you're making me think it's just like understanding the money here. You said follow the money. You know, we're saying we've been defunding public schools all over these 40 years. It's interesting to me, though, if we sum up and take all of the lobbying money that has been spent to, quote, defund schooling. So literally money spent so that people would not spend money on our children, on our community members, on our schools. People have spent way more money than has been cut from the public schools all over through that. And people are like, well, so Tim, you're saying it's not that bad. No, I'm not saying it's not that bad. I'm telling you how distorted people's minds kind of become around these issues here, that people are potentially willing to spend more money to get their way. And that to me is kind of what we're talking about, saying you can't have that in a democracy. And that's, you know, yeah, Alan's going to bring this up with student loans, but Tom always brings it up, the cost of what it means, you know, to live in a democracy. Well, it shouldn't cost, or you shouldn't have access to more, quote, power in a democracy because you spend more. It's just all flipped around. You know, we're sitting here talking about this. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators who talk education, but actually we're doing this every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're talking democracy. It's civic media. That's what this station is about. That's what Busted Pencils is always, it has always been about. Public education, and recognizing, though, that most importantly, public education is that foundation to democracy, and that's what keeps us going. Johnny, headline, though, coming out here, another one, just in case anybody has forgotten, but the White House and the U.S. Department of Education right now, and this is coming out of K-12 Dive, are urging schools to implement three strategies to improve student achievement. Students still aren't achieving, Johnny. Increase their attendance, give them high dosage tutoring, and hey, keep them in school during the summer. We need to bring up those test scores. Here we go. Really? This is our, you know, the White House. This is the Biden administration. For those of you who are out there thinking, you know, we're a one-party supporting group, this is the Biden administration saying that the most important thing schools could be doing right now is making kids go to school in the summer so that they can, you know what, bring up their test scores. This drives me insane and makes me think about the whole reason. I mean, I've gotten into this. 2011, my son, No Child Left Behind, enough. Opt out, pulled him out of the testing. Really? 2024, we are still going to lean into saying the most important thing we could do right now is raise student test scores. I'm flummoxed, Johnny. I don't understand. I will say, you know, but right here, though, I know that the Dr. Tim Slecker has a new ebook online, Busting Pencils, that kind of talks about this 15-year war on learning. Student achievement, Johnny, is that a significant issue, or am I just playing around? Am I belittling something that is really important? Help me understand the fervor with which we get concerned about student test scores.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to like try and parse out student achievement from test scores, because if we only define student achievement, and this is the brilliance in the language, is we want, especially in a strong public education school system, for all students to be learning and to be achieving, right? To be achieving. And then we have to say, achieving what? And this is where we start to get into the conversation of how and what ways do we measure student achievement? And that's where it starts to be infuriating for you, Tim. And I'm not just saying to you, but to people who are taking opposition to this focus. Student achievement is really only understood as performing a particular way on a test that is only measuring certain things, right? It has cultural bias. It has a focus on skills and less on actually thinking critically or applying those skills to practice. In a sense, if we're to think about it, instead of understanding student achievement in a three-dimensional way, we understand it, we're measuring it in a really flat and sort of one-dimensional, way of marking student achievement. That said, we constantly have raised the bar on what young people need to be showing progress in. And so we sort of use this infinite growth model on learning to where what used to be like achieving at grade level at third grade is now, you know, first and second grade. And we keep making this leap, and then discussing it as, student achievement, you know, we aren't meeting these goals. We keep raising the bar. And in essence, a lot of the people, we've said this before, you know, Tim, is let's do a reality check. Are you a successful doctor out there? Are you a successful writer? Are you someone? Well, what you were measured at being successful in fifth grade or fourth grade is now being required of a second and third grader. And so if that second or third grader is behind, are they off course to being a contributing citizen in our country or competitive in the world? No, right? And we know that, like, folks are out there doing really good work who are at grade level, you know, 20 years ago, and the content really hasn't changed in terms of they need to be learning this earlier. Mm. And so when we talk student achievement, who would be against something like all students achieving?
Right.
But what we know is that the factors that are listed here by, you know, the U.S. Department of Education, increasing attendance, providing high dosage tutoring, and expanding learning time. I mean, these are three things that could be great if schools were great. But if schools aren't great places for young people to be, then increasing student attendance to what means and to what ends, right? Providing high dosage tutoring, like with who and about what, right? And expanding and extending the summer learning. Okay, we need to take a close look at what are we doing in those contexts and who's providing that labor. And so how do we figure that out? And again, I'm going to fall back on the importance of diversity, right? We're often grasping for a one size fits all. And what we know, even in our most local, you know, jurisdictions of education, is that there are very diverse needs from our learners, very diverse needs from our learning communities. And why not? And most districts, this is the thing, Tim, a lot of districts are doing this, right? Good district leadership around our country are saying, hey, you know what? You can't group all of our student needs into one category. And so we have some different models, right? Mm. We have some different ways we're going to do this. So, I mean, I think it's important to remember diversity of learners is some center in this. And these, you know, these sort of federal mandates really come down as heavy forms of one size fits all. And we know that that's not going to be good for one, democracy, two, for the needs of our learners and the people providing that learning opportunity, like our teachers and school leaders.
Wow, it sounds to me like you could be potentially making the case that the current Biden administration, through this announcement here, isn't very supportive of diversity. And my goodness, they've been hammered for being too diverse. L.A. Tom is on the line. L.A. Tom, what is happening? Our friend, hey, L.A. Tom.
First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I really, you know, my favorite show of all time, and one of my favorite shows of all time, was Married with Children. And I didn't take it seriously, though, in terms of I'm supposed to act like Al Bundy. It seems to me that somewhere along the line, there's a lot of people out there that really bought into, you know, being non-educated, or being the, I guess, the class clown in a way, is the one that is the cool one, I guess you would say. I've heard from Black friends of mine that, you know, when they went to school and if they spoke in proper, you know, dialect, that they actually would be beat up by other Black kids because of the fact that they were not speaking the way, unfortunately, things that move people ahead in the society. And I just think that's really sad. And I think it's really interesting in terms of the culture, how it is that some of the rum dummies out there seem to think that it's cool to be dumb. And I wish there's a way. I think that's what's so great about Johnny and Tim, is that you guys are cool guys, punk guys that actually speak the vernacular of not only an intelligent person, but can also you know, roll with the people that are like the George War criminal Bush type people.
L.A. Tom, we're going to hold you over if you want until you come back for the break. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. John, he called us smart. More when we get back.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDF.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That's what we do. Every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, shouted out, busted pencils, fully leaded, education talk, educated educators talking education. And John, I'm going to drop it right now. The two blue collar scholars, Dr. Tim and Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. We are the two blue collar scholars. And L.A. Tom's still on the line. L.A. Tom, I think before the break, you were potentially saying that you think Johnny and I might be, you know, maybe a little bit intelligent.
But yeah, intelligent, but also able to talk. Intelligent, but also able to speak in the blue collar scholar way. I mean, it's, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, I don't know if you guys agree with me on this or not, but it seems to me that I hate to go into conspiracies, but you know, here you had Fox that produced Married with Children, which then, of course, got the NFL, which then got all the guys basically watching. And they did a very high production, and they always have, of the NFL. In fact, it was a joke back years ago when Al Bundy talked about, oh, my God, Fox is going to, you know, have the NFL. That's funny. Da, da, da. But it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is about our society that thinks the person that is going to do actually something that's going to hurt themselves, pushes themselves down and votes against their best interest in the interest, I guess, of being a class clown. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
No, L.A. Tom, I think what you remind me of what this is, that electability type of thing. And we've heard this for, you know, for a while. And I think it was George W. Bush who typically, at least in my time, that, you know, came across as, you know, he's the guy you want to have a beer with. And, you know, it's like, and he won the election and people are like, you know, he's a C student. He's a guy you like to have the beer with. And people were like, yeah, and that's who I want to vote for. And it is interesting. And Johnny, I'll let you jump in here. You know, how we have in one way kind of sold and said that that is the kind of what we're looking for in our leaders is, you know, we don't want them too smart. We don't want them to know too much. We'd like them to have a beer with us. You know, we'd like them to hang out. But the reality here then is what Tom's saying is, what is that statement saying to the, you know, the kids, people watching, saying, you know what, actually don't be smart, because, hey, if you want to be the president one day, you don't want to be seen as too smart. Johnny Lupinacci, you know, I mean, after we've just been told that, well, Tom thought we're slightly intelligent, but we're good communicators, though, too.
Well, Tim, I mean, I think it comes down to a lot of different points that got brought up here. but I love it. And, you know, like when you talk about like being a blue collar scholar, like that's us just sort of identifying with our upbringing. And we're certainly not the only two, right?
No,
that comes out of a long tradition of people who have you know, are often in the trades. There is a massive amount of intelligence. And one thing our school system has done a really good job at is making really intelligent people feel like they're not smart and sorts it out, right? And so we have brilliant folks out there who identify outside of our education system as, in quote unquote, I'm throwing up scare quotes here, as intelligent, because it comes back to, you know, you brought up student achievement. It's measured in such a way that to be quote unquote smart, you have to have performed a particular way or taken on an identity of like smart guy, or dare we say it, like, you know, like nerd, right? Mm. And so we have these social categories over the years that have reinforced, and schools are guilty as all being on this. And this is not a right wing or a left wing thing. Schools have done an amazing job of sorting out people in a sense of getting really intelligent and creative and divergent thinkers to identify as not smart. And when you are silenced in that way, right, then it becomes exclusionary. The opposite of inclusion, we're talking diversity, equity, inclusion. It's not only inequitable, but it's exclusionary. And it silences and excludes people from decision-making, from the power of being at this quote-unquote proverbial decision-making table, because you're not smart. Leave it up to the smart guys, or really, literally the smart guys, right? We know how often it's been exclusionary to women and to diverse different gender identities. But thinking about this, Tim, in terms of, you know, what L.A. Tom's bringing up and what you bring into the fold here is, a lot of very intelligent people have also distanced themselves from everyday conversations, you know, utilizing the vocabulary of like, hey, I know these big words and I can talk myself around, reinforcing that experience that like, you're not as smart as I am. And so, you know, we're not always the most Tom hit the nail on the head. We're not always the most popular guys in the academic circle, because I think that it's important to bring forward a level of humility. Like, even with all of the education and the opportunity to learn and the knowledge that we bring to the table as experts in education, is we're just the same as our neighbor. At the end of the day, every single one of us is sharing space. We're breathing air. You know, we're working together in a democracy and an economy. We're figuring out how to live together in our communities. And so, you know, if that way of thinking doesn't model equity, like, we have to all, no matter where we're at, see ourselves as just as important as the next guy or gal or they, whoever we identify as, we all play an important role, right? That's a kind of place I think academics or so-called intelligent folks, you know, schools have created this, need a little bit of humility when they come to the table. So, Tom, thanks for recognizing it. I mean, it's something that Tim and I can't shake, even if we tried.
Oh, we can't do it. Yo, I love that, because you're saying that it you know, kind of coming up at the end of the, you know, I could say, even though we started on Friday, today we're going to make today the official day of the start of 5 days of Busted Pencils, 5 days a week. The show, it came out, as you said, Johnny, it in one way, you know, and this is me, because I created this, brought you on. This was always, in one sense, to say, it was very much to bring forth, for me, a kind of point that said, a lot of the people who I, quote, became a doctor with are horrible at communicating with my neighbor. And, you know, and in fact, even to the point of saying to my neighbor, I don't want to talk to you at all. And Busted Pencils came out of that saying, no, we're going to talk to your neighbor. We are the blue collar scholars. We are here every Monday, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, busting pencils. We are fully leaded, and we are the educated educators talking education. See you tomorrow. Student loan justice on the docket.
Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Sure, the home seller's market is hot right now, but that means many people are jumping at the first offer.
When you sell with the most trusted name in real estate, the Aaron Weber Group at First Weber, you're guaranteed the hottest offer, making you the most money for your home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber, your local realtor, friend, and neighbor, has your best interest in mind and wants you to make the most of this amazing time to sell. Bring a little heat to your home selling experience with Aaron Weber Group and move to Madison.com.
Listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck